conclude our series today on the Passover. And we've looked at how we are challenged to live into and out of God's story and how the story gives us an identity as God's people and as individuals. Last week, Dan Bennett spoke about matzah and the significance of matzah or unleavened bread. It sustains, it gives us life, and is a symbol of the freedom we have in Christ. And Pastor Eric brought bread for the kids. And I really wanted some, and I didn't get any. Only the kids did. And the week before, we talked about karpas, which is the parsley or celery that's dipped in salty water. And then eaten, and it reminds us of the tears of oppression and slavery and what we've come from. The kids ate celery, parsley actually, dipped in salty water, and some of us got to eat celery. Remember that? That crunchy goodness? I shared a bit. Well, today we're talking about keseb, which is the lamb or young sheep. And we tried and tried to get a farmer to let us bring a fuzzy lamb here to have us with us today. But alas, we could not get one that they would let us eat. So we don't have a lamb. People do get attached to animals, don't they? And if you live with an animal, you generally don't want to eat it, unless it makes a mess, and then maybe we reconsider. Today we're looking at Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 to 23, which gives specific instructions about lambs and what to do with them. So I'm reading this from the NIV. This is Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 to 23. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. None of you shall go out the door of your house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frame, and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your house and strike you down." Exodus literally means the way out. And the people of Israel desperately, desperately needed a way out of Egypt. There was no future, no hope, no life. And living a life of slavery is not living at all. They were living, but not really fully alive. And that had to change. This was God's covenant people, and a lot was at stake. God had promised Abraham that he would make his descendants a great nation. That they would be a people who belonged to God, a holy nation. A people who would be blessed to be a blessing to others. A people who would be the genesis of hope for the world. But it didn't look like it was going to happen. They were stuck in Egypt. And with the passing of every year, the promises of God became less tangible and more sentimental. So God raises up a leader named Moses to be a spokesman and to lead the people out of Egypt. First, he asked Pharaoh if his people could be set free, and they were not. Then there were a series of plagues that escalated in severity, and it started with a benign demonstration of power, and the people were not released. And at the river turning to blood, that would have been a good time for him to change his mind. So the people were told, "Get ready, we're getting out of here, because it's going to be terrible, this last plague, and it's going to shake the world." And you know what was going to protect them? How they were to prepare for this? With a lamb. A humble, helpless little lamb. Those poor lambs, it was not a good time to be a lamb in Egypt. Or a young goat. If you were there, you'd want to depart before this happened. Each family needed to pick a lamb, a nice one, a good one, and then they were to live with it for a while. Couldn't help but think what this must have been like. Imagine doing this with your family, a cute little lamb or goat, and you keep it with you and care for it until the time for the Passover came. These were the instructions. It was supposed to live with you, and it would become your pet. That was part of the deal. Daddy, when are we getting our pet lamb? Daddy, why are we getting a pet lamb? We'll talk about that later. The neighbors would have been sure to notice that they had sheep in their houses, living with them. And sheep make less than perfect house guests. So maybe the Egyptians would have wondered, how can this be? These crazy Israelites, what are they up to now? And taking a lamb actually was an Egyptian god symbol. It would have been noticed. The idea that they took these Egyptian deities into their home for days, and all on the same day. It was likely that this only increased tensions and made the Egyptians angry because it probably seemed like an act of disrespect to them. After 4 days of living with the lamb and getting to know it a bit, taking care of it, each family was to take the lamb and slaughter it and collect the blood in a basin. And then with the hyssop, which is something like this, this is not real hyssop. They were to take the basin, dip it in the hyssop, and cover the door frame with blood. It would have been messy. Anyone painted with leaves? Not a tidy affair. And after they did that, this is what happened. When the angel of death came to the doors that were protected by the blood of the lamb, this is what happened. It worked. You shall not pass. How did that little lamb do that? It was an act of faith. It was an act of obedience. God chose to use something helpless, something defenseless, something with no claws or fighting ability to defend his people. What about the blood of a bear or a wolf? Or a liger, or a Thai liger, something powerful. But no, it was a sheep. Yeah, you'd like a liger, I know. Lowly, old, smelly, dumb sheep. There's no sports teams with sheep as mascots that I know of. Boston Bruins, maybe. Dave Waters. It was a tangible act of faith. Faith in the blood of the lamb would protect them, keep them safe, and keep them alive. There's a lot about sheep in the Passover ritual. But interestingly enough, this is not where the imagery in the Bible around sheep ends. The people of Israel were told to use sheep, young lambs. But what is the most frequent imagery around sheep in the Bible? People as sheep. Jesus describes the people of Israel as God's lost sheep. Jesus is said to know his sheep. And Jesus tells his disciples to feed his sheep. And then in Matthew 18, there's this famous parable of the lost sheep, where clearly we as humans are the sheep. And we learn that God will do anything for his sheep. He will leave the 99 other sheep and go look for the one that is lost. Who wants to be a sheep? Now, there was a song, I want to change the words. I don't want to be a sheep, ba, ba, ba. We used to always sing, I want to be a sheep, but I don't want to be a sheep. The idea of being a sheep is not appealing, especially in our culture. We value strength, independence, uniqueness. I always thought they were cute when they are young, but when they get older and their fur is matted and looks stinky and they have these creepy eyes, especially goats, and they just poop where they stand. I don't want to be a sheep. No, no, no. I'd rather be a wolf, cruising around with the rest of the pack on the hunt, wild and free, howling at things, scaring people. I want to make my own choices and go my own way, even if it hurts me, yes. Isn't that the idea we have of what it means to be human? To be more like wolves than sheep? Sheep are stupid and smelly and easily manipulated. So if I have to be a sheep, I'll be a rough and tumble sheep. A special forces sheep. A sheep that thinks it's a wolf. Staying separate from the rest of the herd. Different. The independent sheep. Better, ready to fight. A sheep in wolves' clothing. Isn't that really more our cultural ideal? I know that one of my favorite images of Jesus is that of a lion. The one who will come in judgment. But not only did God choose to use a lamb to protect the Israelites at the Exodus, not only are we described as lambs, just old ones who have lost some of their cuteness, and we're called sheep. Jesus is the lamb. How could it be that the long-awaited Messiah of Israel, the one who will set the captives free, is a lamb? The Bible teaches us, aside from our experience, who God is. One picture emerges in the Old Testament. It's a dramatic picture, a tough picture, a picture of a warrior God, a judgment God, that we in our time and place have difficult time accepting. Ironically, even though I think we want to be wolves. In Exodus, we're getting to know who God is. In Exodus 3, Moses is walking around in the wilderness by himself, and he sees something that should not be, something out of place. It's a bush that is on fire and is not consumed. So Moses goes to check it out, and God calls him from the middle of the bush. Moses, Moses, from the middle of this burning bush. Moses probably jumped back. The Bible says he answers, "Here I am." But it was probably more like, "Yeah, here I am," like in a squeaky voice. It's really difficult for us to get this in English because at first it seems like a really unsatisfying answer. Kind of like the Popeye the Sailor Man. "I am who I am. I am what I am." Kind of like, take it or leave it. This is me, God. But it's much more dynamic, much more revealing, much more provocative than that. It's more like, "I will be what I will be. You'll find out." Who God is a matter of experience and encounter, and you will find out. It's a dynamic, open statement. And when we meet Jesus, we find out more about this God who Moses met at the burning bush. The God who so dramatically rescued his people from slavery in Egypt. This God who sent plagues is described in the person of Jesus something much different. The very first reaction to Jesus in the book of John reveals much about the character of God. The God of the plagues, the God of the Passover lamb. John the Baptist had been talking to the Pharisees about the Messiah, saying, "I think it's going to be different than you expect. I don't think this Messiah is going to be quite who you think he is. I'm just warning you." The law was given to Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness is going to be revealed. Are you ready for it? So in John 1:29, John saw Jesus coming towards him and points and says, "Look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Jesus, Messiah, God, is a lamb? I thought we were the sheep. I thought sheep were the helpless things that were slaughtered at the Passover. Moses, "I will be what I will be." My character is dynamic. You cannot contain me. You cannot pigeonhole me. Who would have thought that this God who led the people through the wilderness with a pillar of fire, the God of the ark, the God of the plagues, would reveal himself as a lamb? But he is also revealed as a shepherd. So we have God who is revealed in the burning bush, who sends plagues, who uses sheep as protection, who calls us sheep, who is known as a baby sheep, who is also the shepherd. In John chapter 10, verse 11, the one who is identified as the Lamb of God describes himself as a shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. He is the shepherd who is with his sheep, protecting them, guarding them, keeping them safe. He is a shepherd who knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. With sacrifice, it matters what kind of sheep they are. They have to be perfect, unblemished, the best. But with the shepherd's flock, it doesn't seem to matter what kind of sheep are in it. The flocks of us human sheep described in the Bible are full of all kinds of sheep. Sheep with single-colored fur, sheep with mottled fur, sheep with white fur, sheep with black fur, sheep with fur like dreadlocks, sheep with thistles and burrs stuck in it. It doesn't seem to matter what kind of sheep you are to be part of the flock. You just need to know you're a sheep. Here's the truth about the shepherd. He never holds auditions. He never specifies what kind of sheep he will accept. The shepherd never bases his protection and love and concern for the sheep based on the quality of the fur, on the fat content, on the cut of meat. The shepherd never bases his love and concern and protection based on how the sheep behave. That's never mentioned as a basis to belong to the flock. Those are just things that we created as a basis for belonging because we want to decide and control who's in the flock. I think we want to take our fate in our own hands because we forget we are sheep because God's grace is just too good. It's just too offensive. Grace is just too hard to take since on some level we think that since it's free, it must be worthless. So we've made the church the kennel club of standards for sheep conformity and behavior. Yet the truth about the shepherd is that despite all this, he calls us by name. We know the voice that's always there. Under the insecurity and the cry of the wolves and the effort to be something else other than sheep, I call my sheep, the shepherd says, and they know my voice. We are part of a flock. Never forget that. And this flock is not perfect. It's even made up of sheep in wolves' clothing. Those of us who don't really accept that we are sheep, who don't accept that we are part of this herd, this flock, that we have a herd mentality, that we are, despite all of our brilliance and dignity, we need to remember that we are all, after all, just sheep. It doesn't matter what kind of sheep you are to belong to this flock. Yet it does matter in the terms of sacrifice. We see that with the Passover, the animal must be top quality. Only the shepherd could be the sheep, could be that lamb. Only the shepherd is the one who is worthy, could be that lamb for us. The God who revealed himself in fire and plagues and judgment has now revealed himself as a lamb, the one who was slain. You want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. John 14 says, when you see me, you see the Father. Hebrews 1:3 says, the sun radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. The Lamb keeps us alive. The Lamb gives us life. The Lamb is what makes life worth living. Who here is alive? Like truly alive? You guys all feel like you're alive? Because to be fully alive is to put yourself under the care of the Lamb, under the protection of the Lamb. To be fully alive is a gift from God. It is living life in freedom. It is living life as the sheep, the unique sheep that we were created to be. It is an adventure. It is living life to its fullest. I like how my Hawaiian Pidgin English Bible translates John 3:16. Bear with me. My pidgin's rusty. God one gets so plenty love and aloha for the people inside the world that he one send me, his one and only boy, so that everybody that trust me no get cut off from the God, but get the real kind life that stay to the max forever. Stay to the max forever. Jesus, the Lamb of God, is the one who gives freedom by sacrificing himself in order that we might no longer be slaves to sin, but free to live as we were created to. He wants us to live and have life more abundantly. You want to know what God is like? Look at the Lamb. It's a picture in Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 to 13. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I even heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain and now sits at the right hand of God. Worthy is the Lamb. You and me and you and you and me, we are all sheep. And the Lamb wants you to live in freedom. The Lamb gives himself for the sheep so they would be safe. The Lamb gives himself for the sheep. Remember, you are all sheep. Accept that fact and become like the Lamb. This is our story. Amen.